we are at the bottom of Peites Amud Beis, 9b, just continuing the discussion that the Gemara began at the end yesterday of a Murei Kodshim Kalim, which left the Azara before the Zvikas Hadam. So remember that the Emurim are meant to go on the Mizbeach. So they left before the Zvikas Hadam. Will I compare them to Dam, as I wrote on the sheet, and say that if Dam leaves, it's Pasul, it's Yotze? So too, the Emurim become Pasul. So the Gemara says, Lema Kitanoi. You know, we might actually be able to match this up to an existing Machlokes Tanoim. That last line on Peites Amud Beis. Emurei Kodshim Kalim Sheyotz Lefnei Zvikas Damim. What do you know? That's exactly our case. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ein Ma'olin Bahen. So Rabbi Eliezer says there is no law of Me'ila. It's always tricky when you see the phrase Ein Ma'olin Bahen. You have to keep in mind that's actually a good thing. If you see the Ein, you assume it's a negative. Ein Ma'olin Bahen means that it's not called Me'ila if you use them for yourself. That doesn't mean mutter, but it means potter. You're not going to be liable. That's Rabbi Eliezer's position. You don't have liability for them if you eat them and they are pigul and they are nosar and they are tame, and all those or you are tame, I should say. The tame case is tabat tumas haguf. The person eating it is tame. In all three of those cases, one would not be liable. Rashi explains why we would have the exemption from pigul nosar v'tame. We see Rashi in the top of Tzadi Yomad Aleph. Ein chayav and aleim mishum pigul. Since they left the Azara, we treat them as though the Zrikas Adam never happened for them. Velo karvu kol matirehen, the matir wasn't brought. And remember, we learned that pigul only applies if karvu matirov, if that which would permit it for its function had actually been brought. So that didn't happen here. Why doesn't nosar apply? Rashi continues to say, mishum nosar, de'en nosar, ella, we're going to use the words bibasar in our edition. In the side margin, they give you other versions, but nosar only will apply by basar, meaning by that which is actually suitable for eating. Ba'achila b'tel zmano, that which could have been eaten at its proper time. It only becomes nosar if it could have been eaten at a certain point and then became ineligible. That's not true when we're dealing with the emurim that left before the Zvikas Adam. And then finally, mishum nosar. I'm sorry, mishum tame. Rashi renders mishum tumas haguf. Kedamrina b'menachos hanitar letahorim chayav and of mishum tuma. The Gemara Menachos says that you're liable if you're tame and you eat from a karban, assuming that that karban would have been mutter for people who were tahor. That's what will make you liable for eating it when you're tame. In other words, if I'm tame and I eat something that was never supposed to be eaten by anybody, I'm not chayav for being a tame person who eats karbanos. I have other liabilities, but not that one. Rashi continues to say, that which was never permitted for Taharim does not carry liability for Tamei people who eat from it. When we... Yes. Right, so Rashi is troubled exactly by the fact that we don't eat a murin ever. So what do you mean? How could you ever be liable for eating a murin when you're tame? And the answer is that we link a murin to the meat of the karbanos from Xeras Akasov. The pasuk says, Asher Lashem, that includes all the things that go to Hashem, including the a murin. And therefore, just like you'd be liable for eating the meat when you're tame, so too you'd be liable for eating the a murin when you're tame. However, de la achar zrika hu de mechayev alaya v'lo lefnei zrika. That's only if you did it after the zrika's Adam, not before the Zrika. And in this case, the Hani Loa Hani Lahu Zrika. For these, the Zrika didn't work because they left the Azara before the Zrika Sadam. So the overarching picture that Rabbi Eliezer is trying to paint for us is that if the Emurim leave the Azara before the Zrika Sadam, the Zrika is not effective for them. It doesn't permit them for anything, and that's why there's no pigul no serentame applicable, and that's why the laws of Me'ila don't kick in. Remember the way Me'ila works when you're dealing with Kodshim Kalim, right? Kodshim Kalim are subject to Me'ila after the Zrika Sadam, right? Kodshim lose their Me'ila status at Zrika Sadam. Kodshim Kalim gain their Me'ila status at Zrika Sadam. So this never gained it. It never reached that level. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva on the second line on Sadi Yamad Aleph. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Molin Bohen, V'chayavan Alein Mishum Pigul Nosev Etame. Rabbi Akiva is the opposite. He says, no, the Zrika does work. So can I match this up to our question that we asked at the end of yesterday's Gemara regarding the status of a Murim that leave before Zrika? Is it in fact a Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, and his Talmud / Talmud Chaver, Rabbi Akiva? My love, third line, my love, bedahad derailinu pligi, aren't Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva disagreeing regarding the case in which you brought them back into the Beis HaMikdash before the Zrikas Adam? In other words, you brought it, you let it, it left, and then it was brought back. Ubaha pligi, and this is the machlokes. Demar savar misli biyotze, umar savar lo misli biyotze. One says they become disqualified when they leave, and the other says no. So Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, not necessarily. Bidahadar aylinhu kule amalo pligi. When someone brings them back in before the Zrika, I'll tell you, you know what? No one has any disagreement in that case. Bein Rabbi Eliezer, Bein Rabbi Akiva, everybody agrees the Zrika works. It left, it came back, he did the Zrika after that, everything is fine, and we treat it as though it never happened. V'hacha b'di isnu avroi pligi. The machlokes here is where it's still outside when you do the Zrika Sadam. U'vaha pligi, and this is the machlokes, demar sabar in Zrika mo'elis liyotze, demar sabar Zrika mo'elis liyotze. That it's the machlokes, whether Zrika works for that which leaves and doesn't come back in. It's not really a debate about a murim, it's a debate about Zrika Sadam. Whether Zrikas Hadam works for that which is not in the Beis HaMikdash. That's really what we're asking. To which the Gemara says, really? I have Rav Papa in a separate discussion regarding the Shtei HaLechem you bring on Shavuos, those two loaves of bread that come with the lambs. And there he says something different. Rav Papa himself says, V'harav Papa hu da'omar, b'di isnu avroi kuli amalu pligi, b'di ailinu l'gavoi pligi. He says the machlokas regarding the Shtei HaLechem, if they are outside during the Zrikas Hadam, is specifically a machlokas where they are inside, where you brought them back in. And then everybody agrees if they were left outside, they're no good. So which is it? So the answer is, you can't make an analogy from Shtei HaLechem to the Emurim. That's true for the Shtei HaLechem because they aren't the body of the carbon. The body of the carbon, there are the lambs. That's really what we're talking about. That's the key. But the Emurim, our discussion, that is the body of the carbon. It's meant to go on the Mizbeach. That's where they have the Machlokas if that is found outside. They want to know, will this Rika be effective? Tosus has a different take from Rashi. He has a different approach to why Tumah would not apply. Instead of using Rashi's Gemara from Menachos, he quotes as a Gemara from earlier in Zvachim from Imhei Amid Beis. Okay.
Is Rikas Adam not going to help?
Yeah.
Murim went outside.
If they went outside and stayed outside. If they went outside and were brought back in, that's a Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Akiva. Right. Okay. Ophos Kodman, we now return to our regularly scheduled Mishnah. And remember we had our list, our hierarchy of the which carbon comes before which. And I updated the table on your sheet to include what the Gemara is going to include now, which are a couple of more challenges to the order in the Mishnah, as well as we're going to add in Mincha Sota. You see that at the bottom, and the question of where that fits into the hierarchy. So we said back in the Mishnah that birds precede Menachos. Oph is before Mincha, so because it has Mine Damit, right? And that was our, we said, Mine Damim, it has the blood that's brought. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, just the opposite. Menachos Kodmos. Mincha should come first. Shekein Yeshna and Bet Tzibur can be Yachid, because there is such a thing as a Mincha of the Tzibur. Right? As I wrote it on the sheet, you have the Mincha Sa'omer and you have the Shtei HaLechem that are communal. So Mincha should precede Ophos. The fact that there is something communal matters regarding other hierarchies, we think. Actually, it doesn't. We rejected it regarding Shlomim. We said Shlomim should be before El Nazir and Karban Toda because it's communal, and we rejected it. So we rejected it here too. Afilu hachi, mine damim adifi. Nonetheless, the fact that the birds have blood put on the Mizbeach, that has priority in the hierarchy. Minchas Chote, we then said the Mincha of the Chote precedes the Minchas Nedava because it is Mechaper, because it atones. Right, I was talking to Yaakov before, why does that give a greater Kedusha? Why does that automatically make it greater? And I thought to say what we said yesterday, that it's because you're Mitzvah Va'osa. But I'm not sure that that's actually correct. Because there are other Korbanos that you bring here that are not Mechaper, that you are Mitzvah to bring. And they don't carry the same status necessarily. So but in any case, the Gemara asks, you should put Nedava before Chote. Adarabba, just the opposite. Minchas Nedava Kodemes, the Mincha that you bring voluntarily should be first. Shekein to Una Shema Nulavona, because it has oil on it, it has frankincense on it. You don't put that on a Minchas Chote. So he says, Afilu Hachi, nonetheless, Minchas Chote Haba Al Chait Adifa. That which comes to atone for sin, it has greater priority, Dimechaperes, because Kapara trumps, even though it's a nicer Mincha when you bring a Minchas Nedava. So now the Gemara asks the Minchas Sota question. Ibayelahu, question. Minchas Sota, u Minchas Nedava Ezo Me'en Kodemes. The Mincha brought by the Sota versus the Nedava Mincha, which one comes first? Minchas Nedava Kadma Shekein Te'una Shemen Ulevona. On the one hand, the Nedava has oil, it has frankincense, that makes it a better carbon. O Dilma Minchas Sota Kadma Shekein Ba Levarer Avon. Or do I say Minchas Sota comes first because it comes to clarify sin? It's not there for kapara, but it's there to determine whether the person sinned at all, and therefore it has unique and special status. That's our argument. It's like something that comes because of sin. Tashma, come in here from the following. We said Minchas Chote, this is our first attempt. We're going to have two attempts to try to prove it. So our first attempt is Minchas Chote Kodemes the Minchas Nedava. We said in the Mishnah, the Mincha of a Chote precedes the Minchas Nedava, indicating Minchas Chote Hu Dekadma the Minchas Nedava. The Chote one comes first. Ha Minchas Sota Lo, but the Mincha of a Sota would not. That's my argument that I want to bring, exclusive language from the Mishnah. Just like we tried to do yesterday, and it didn't work there, it won't work here either. The Gemara says, Miketani b'bneishi mechaperis. The Gemara says, not so fast. The Mishnah's language is not really exclusive of others. It doesn't say, Minchas Chode is first because it is mechaper. It says, Mipneishi ba'a al chait, katani. Our reason was, because it comes for an aveira. That's really what's special about it, what's unique about it. V'anami ba'al chet. And I'll tell you that the Mincha of the Sota also comes as a result of sin, right? Or a suspected sin. So therefore, it should in fact be included in Minchas Chote. Minchas Chote should not say in my table, Mechaber, it should say ba'al chet. That's the argument we want to bring. We're going to reject it in a moment.
The guy doesn't vary, he gets up front.
Yeah.
He doesn't doubt, he can't get up front, really.
Well, that we would have
said.
Yeah. But Minchas Chote trumps because it's Ba'al Chet, and Sota should be counted in that also. Svar, when you're dealing with Karbanos, you have to be very careful with. Yeah. So he says, Tashma, come in here from a second approach. We learned, Zu Kodemes Lazu. This is not part of our Mishnah. This is a line which has some source somewhere, and we don't know what in the world it means. Zu Kodemes Lazu. This precedes that. Okay. Shezu ba min achita and vezu ba min asaorin. Because this comes from wheat and this comes from barley. So we know you're dealing with menachos, but we don't know what else we're talking about. So the Gemara says, can I translate that source? My love minchas nedava the minchas sota. Isn't it saying that minchas nedava is from wheat and therefore precedes the mincha of a sota, which is from barley? To which he says, well, not necessarily. Minchas chote le minchas sota. Maybe it's talking about the mincha of a chote preceding the mincha of a sota. Mincha of a chote is also wheat. So maybe that's what it's trying to say. And in fact, Minchas Sota might be before Nedava. So he said...
I mean, there's no kapara by Sota.
There is no kapara involved. That's correct. It's just ba'al chet that comes as a result of sin.
That is Nedava.
Yeah.
If she's innocent.
Well, it's not Nedava, she's innocent. It's part of a ritual.
Kapara is okay.
It's not Nedava. Nedava means I'm bringing this because I feel like it. She doesn't feel like this. I'm fairly sure.
Does she decline to go through the process?
Only if she admits what she's done. If she's not guilty, then there's no other way. Yeah. But this is the ritual of Sota. In other words, if a man does kinoi and she does stira, right, then you get to this point.
There's no
Sota. They have the whole discussion, right. But that's not the point. The point is that this is a ritual you are chayav to do. You're obligated to do this. Back up. There is no innocence in the case of a sota. Let's get that straight. In other words, she may not have committed arayos. However, she did stira. She was alone with a man other than her husband. Yichud is still aser midi araisa. We just don't know any further. Yeah. Right. There's people say that regarding sota is an innocent woman, and just because her husband is jealous, this is not a story of innocence. The only question is how far they went. But in any case, this is called a chiyuv. So the Gemara says, Tepuch li, daha mechaperes v'alo mechaperes. Why don't I simply say, look, the mincha of echatos atones, the mincha of chote atones, the mincha of a sota does not serve for atonement. So in other words, if you're telling me that the brisa used wheat versus barley to determine hierarchy between Minchas Chote and Minchas Sota, I'll say that can't be. Because if they were really talking about Minchas Chote versus Minchas Sota, they would have given the Kapara explanation, not the wheat and barley explanation. The Elamite, But then what? Minchas nedava. So you think it's nedava versus sota? Typically, tezutuna shemenu lavona vezuena tuna shemenu lavona. Then you could have given the argument that this one has oil and frankincense, the nedava does, and the sota one does not. Elach chad vitrei tami nakit.
The sota we just said is hamachet.
It comes as a result of chet, not that it's machaper though.
That maybe overpowers the.
It might overpower the nedava, but it won't overpower the minchas chote.
Right, but we're saying a minchas nedava.
Yeah. Right. Correct. That's fine. But you would have to. That's fine. But you could have made. That's fine. But then you could have made that argument. In other words, again, what we're seeing is we have a black box here. We have two cases. We said X precedes Y, and we know for sure what Y is. We know that Y is sota, because it says it comes with barley. It's the mincha that comes from barley, and that's not going to apply by minchas adava, it's not going to apply by minchas chote. So the question is, what's the hierarchy here? What is X? Is X chote, or is X nedava? We know that X is described as wheat, but that could be either one. And he says, I can't prove either way, because if it's really the chote one, then it should have mentioned that it's mechaper, which would trump sota's ba'a al chet. And if it's nedava, then it should have mentioned Shemen Ulavona, not that it comes from wheat. So the Gemara's answer is, you know what? You could read this either way. Elachad mitrei tami nakat. You could read it either way. That we were bringing one of two possible reasons why this should trump that. And yeah, we mentioned wheat. We didn't mention the other ones. So there is no conclusive result here. The moral of the story is that if you're bringing Menchas Sota, you may need to wait in line. Okay. Chatas ha'ov kodemes. We then move over to the discussion about chatas ha'of, and the general issue of chatas preceding ola. And if you take a look on your sheet, I brought you the psukim from Vayikra. This is talking about someone who is supposed to bring a chatas, and he can't afford it. And instead, he brings birds. So the pasuk says, "V'ikrivas asher lachatas rishona." Bring the chatas first, and it describes the malika, and it describes the azaz hadam, and then it says, "And the second one he will do as an ola kamishpat." So it's redundant. Once you told me the first one is a chatas, why did you need to say the second one is an ola? And that's what our Gemara is going to look at here. Mina animili. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that the chatas actually precedes the ola for avodas hadam? Not for Haktara. Haktara, we said the Ola is first, but for the Dam Karbana, for the Dam Avoda. Menanimili, the Tana Rabbanan, here's the Brisa. The Torah says, V'ikrivas asher lachatas rishona. That's what we just read. Bring the chatas first. Matam alomar, what is that teaching me? She'en tam alomar lalamit shitikari rishona. That's not there to teach me that the chatas is first. Harek ranema, resa she'ni yasa ola. Because I have a pasuk that says that the second one is an ola. Ela zeb bana av, rather it's meant for me to extrapolate and build a rule. That in general, l'chol chatos she'ikad mula ola abos iman. That when a chatas comes with an ola, the chatas is first. As Rashi says, tala tam akdamaso b'shvil shem chatas. The reason this is first is because it's a chatas. V'ikrivas asher l'chatas rishona. It's first because it's a chatas. Aha! So then any time I have a chatas, it's going to precede an ola. Bein chatas ha'of la'ola sa'of. Whether one is a bird carbon and the other one is a bird carbon. Bein chatas behema la'olas behema. Whether one is an animal one and the other one is an animal one. V'afilu chatas ha'of la'olas behema. And even if the chatas is a bird and the ola is a behema, the case that can occur regarding a yoledes. Even still, I'm going to do chatas first. Hilkach, therefore, and now we get our approach, which I put there in one line in bold on the sheet. Chatas ha'ov la'olas ha'ov me've'es ha'sheni. If they're both birds, I know precedence for the chatas from the clause ve'es ha'sheni yase ola kamishpat. Chatas behema la'olas behema. If they're both animals, I get midirabi rachmana. The chatas ha'ov midirabi rachmana. From the fact that the Torah goes out of its way, we saw this yesterday on Peites Amud Beis, saying ufar sheni ben bakar tikach chatas. That was the top of Peites Amud Beis. Chatas ha'ov la'olas behema. And where the chatas is a bird, and the ola is a behemah, be zeb bana av, that's this zeb bana av line, the binyan av we made from the ikrivas asher lachatas rishona. That's how I know the rules. But we're not done, because the Gemara is going to challenge this idea three times. first with a challenge based on what happens regarding a yoledes. The rule regarding a yoledes, a woman who gives birth, is that she's supposed to bring a chatas, and she's supposed to bring, the chatas is a bird, and she's supposed to bring an ola. However, if she can't afford the ola, she can substitute a bird for it. So Rabbi Eliezer says, huh, that's unique. You know what? When you're dealing with a yoledes, then I'm going to switch the order because there are three ways in which yoledes is unique. Number one, that the bird substitutes for the ola. Number two, instead of substituting for a chatas. Number two, that it's a chatas that is not there for kapara. I don't care how many times the Gemara tells you that she swore when she was in labor and all that. The Gemara's basic approach is that it's not kapara, it's ritual obligation. And it's a one-for-one substitution. Ordinarily, when you bring birds to make up for other karbanos, you bring a pair. And here it's a one-for-one. So look at what Rabbi Eliezer does in this braisa we quote. Tashma, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol makom shenischalfa chatas, chatas kodemes. Vikan ola kodemes. Number one, wherever you do the switch for a lower level creature that you're going to bring to substitute for another one, ordinarily the chatas is brought first, but here, ola kodemes, the ola is actually going to come first. Number two, kol makom shebal chet. Ordinarily, the chatas is to atone for sin. Chatas kodemes, the chatas is first. Vekan ola kodemes, but here the ola goes first. V'chol makom sheshnayim ba'im tachas chatas. Ordinarily, it's two that are being brought in place of, he doesn't really mean a chatas, he means in Rashi's edition, it's tachas echad, two for one. Chatas kodemes, the chatas is first. Vekan ola kodemes, but here the ola is first. Take a look at Rashi, ola kodemes, the bottom of the thin lines in Rashi. Alma, we see from here, ola shel behema yoledes kodemes lachatas. You see that the ola, if she brings it as a behema, will precede the chatas. Shari av chalifin kodmen lachatas, because even its substitute, a bird, would precede the chatas. If the bird precedes the chatas, certainly the animal would precede the chatas. The original ola would precede the chatas. Yes. Umas nisin tnan chatas ha'ov kodemes la'olas behema. But our Mishnah disagreed. Our Mishnah said, ov precedes behema from the binyan av. So, Amar Rava, Rava answers with a very interesting answer. He says, l'mikra'a hikdima ha'kasuv. What in the world does that mean? For the pasuk, it's there first. So Rashi says it means that literally. In the Torah, it mentions the ola first. That's what it means. Tosfos brings a view that it means that for Hakdasha, when you dedicate them, you dedicate the Ola first. I found some very interesting things on this issue. The Imre Emes quotes a sefer called the Rechovos Hanar. This is in that Margolios Hashas that I mentioned yesterday. That what happened was, when the Kohen brought a karban, he actually recited the psukim that associated with that karban before he did it. And actually the Sfas Emes had a practice based on that, that before he put on tzitzis, he would recite the psukim from the Torah about tzitzis. It's a way to focus. So when he brought these karbanos, he said the psukim of the Ola before the psukim of the Chatas. Which is also, the Imre Emes says, why? When the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Aleph and Aruch Chaim says that you should recite the psukim of the karbanos every day, he lists the Ola before he lists the Chatas. That's the order that he gives. Also, I saw a nice idea that Rabbi Eliezer Khan of Gateshead said that you bring your chatas before your ola ordinarily, because as the Gemara said in the beginning of Zvachim Zayin Amid Beis, you bring your agent first to satisfy the king before you bring your gift, that is the ola. But when you read the psukim, it says here you read the ola psukim first, before the chatas, because you want to keep your eyes on what your real goal is. Your real goal is not the chatas. Your real goal is to bring an ola to Hashem. So therefore, you read the psukim, you read ola before chatas, even though when you bring the karbanos, you bring chatas before ola. Thought that was an interesting thing. Okay. So our first approach, our first challenge to the idea that the chatas precedes the ola was from the case of the oledes, and our answer was, no, the chatas still precedes the ola. When he said ola before chatas, it only meant in terms of the psukim. That's it. Second challenge, Tashma, last line on Sadi Amid Aleph. Parim kodmin le'elim, ve'elim kodmin le'kvasim, kvasim le'se'irim. This is another one of those statements in a vacuum. Bulls precede rams, which precede lambs, which precede goats. Huh? What in the world does that mean? My sheet actually has a mistake in it. It should say lambs precede rams. I didn't put in the lambs. So he says, my lav dechag, isn't that talking about the karbanos sukkis, the karban musaf? And in the karban musaf case, Rashi outlines for you, the se'irim havichatas ukvasim ola, the goat is a chatas, the lamb is an ola, and you're telling me that you're supposed to bring the chatas before, you're telling me to bring the ola, the lamb ola, before the goat that is a chatas. To which he says, no, we weren't talking about sukkahs at all. Lo, l'nedava, we're talking about stam. If you're bringing voluntary olos, some from this type of animal, some from that type of animal, parim kodmin la'elim. Bulls come first before the rams, shekein nisrabu b'nisachim, because you bring more nisachim for them. You bring more libations. Rashi tells you, par shlosha esronim, ayil shnei esronim, you remember. V'chein elim l'kvasim, and the same reason will be why rams precede sheep, precede lambs, I should say, rams are sheep, but rams precede lambs, because also they have greater amount of nisuch, of libation. Kvasim l'se'irim, shekenis rabu be'elya, and the lambs precede the goats because you put more on the mizbeach, you put the tail fat on the mizbeach, therefore they have a special aspect, as Rashi says, sad riboy le mizbeach, that makes them unique, that makes them special. So it's not that you would bring the chatos before the ola, it's one type of ola before another type of ola. Third and last argument, tashma, come in here from the following, par kohen mashiach kodim lepar helam davar shel tzibur, the kohen God has to bring a par chatas that comes before the communal chatas when the tzibur was led astray when they and made mistakes. Par elam davar shel tzibur, which is a chatas, kodem lepar avodas kochavim, precedes the bull of avodas kochavim where the community worshipped avodas zara. Now remember, what happens with that par avodas kochavim? It's burnt. So even though it's a chatas in the sense that it atones, it's an ola in its ritual. It's all going to be burned. So therefore, you're saying chatas paralam davashal tzibur precedes ola of the par for avodah zara, and they conclude the brisa par avodas kochavim kodem l'seirei avodas kochavim. The communal carbon for avodah zara precedes the goat that a yachid, that an individual brings for avodah zara. End of quote. So he says ve'afal gav de para or de afal gav, depending on your edition, de para avodas kochavim ola u'seirei avodas kochavim chatas. Right? You're bringing the ola before the chatas. The order that we're You're bringing the bull of Avodas Kochavim as an Ola, and you're bringing the Sar Avodas Kochavim as a Chatas. So the Ola comes first. Right, the Ola comes first. Thank you. Yeah, I just lost my train. The Emamei Reisha, to which the Gemara says, yeah, but look earlier in that same source, where it had Chatas before Ola. Par Elam Davar Shel Tzibur Kodem Lepar Avodas Kochavim. So that does match us. To which he answers, yeah, but Bechad Mina Mia Lo Karmirin Dechatas Kadma. No one challenged that. That's where they're both the same type of animal. They're both bulls. So yeah, you bring your chatas before your ola. That I agree with. Ki kamrinim betraimini. My whole question is, what about where one is a behemoth and one is an oaf? Right? They're in two different species. Ashkechan ola dekadma lachatas. You see that the ola precedes lachatas. So the Gemara gives us two answers. One answer, Amri b'ma'a Rava, they said, Eretz Yisrael, Mishmei d'Rava Barmari, Chatas avodas kochavim chaser alaf, l'chatas ksiv, it's gzeras hakosuv. The Torah says, l'chatas, by the chatas avodas kochavim, it's missing an alaf there, to tell me, aha, this is going to be unique, we're going to do this one differently. Alternatively, Ravina or Rava Omar, kamishpat ksiv behu. You have the pasuk that says, kamishpat. What does kamishpat have to do with anything? So Rashi explains, on kamishpat ba'ukra u'menchasov v'nisko kamishpat, bring the mincha and the nesach kamishpat according to the law. Mashma kamishpat seder mikra u'kach seder avodosa. It's saying do it in the order that it's written in the psukim. Upar barei shaksiv, and the bull is mentioned in the Torah before the goat is. So it's a unique gzeras hakasuv. To which he says, Hashad Asis Lahachi, well, now that you say Xeris Hakasov, Afilun Teva Parin Dachagnami, Kemishpatam Ksivbo, you can go back to your question about the animals, the bulls being before the rams, being before the lambs, being before the goats, and all that, and say it was talking about circus, and in fact it's done that way, and that's just unique. So you could do that. Okay. Ibayalo, question the Gemara now asks. This is a logic problem, okay? You have three different carbonos to bring, and your problem is, A is supposed to be before B, B is supposed to be before C, but C is supposed to be before A. So what do you do now when you have this this set? Ibayalo, chatas ha'of, va'olas behema, umaiser. So I know the rule, right? Chatas ha'of, a bird chatas, should be before the olas behema, because we just said that, right? We had that from the psukim and the bana'av and all that. Chatas ha'of precedes olas behema. Olas behema versus meiser behema, the ola is first, we said in the Mishnah, because it's kadshe kadshim and it's kalil, all going on the mizbeach. However, bird versus meiser behema is first, because it's min zevach. So A should be before B, B should be before C, but C should be before A. So there's like an Escher diagram, right? The A's a man kodim, which one comes first? Tiktum chatas ha'ov, do I put the chatas ha'ov first? Ika meiser de kodim la. Meiser behema should be first, because it's a zevach. Liktum meiser, meiser behema should be first, but ika olas behema de kod malay. But you want to put olas behema before meiser behema, because it's kachay kachim and all burned on the mizbeach. And if you'll say tiktum olas behema, so fine, put your olas behema before the meiser, ika chatas ha'ov de kadmala. You can't, because the bird chatas should be first. So what do you do? So the answer is, we look at the factors and decide which factor trumps. Hacha in Bavel targimu min zevach adif. They said, you know what, min zevach is primary, so your order should be meiser chatas ola. That's the order that you actually want. Meiser is first, it's the, because it's min zevach, then chatas ha'of, and then last you'll bring the ola. But Ma'arava Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they said no. Ayla ba olas behema bechatas ha'of v'agba sami meiser. He says, you're right that the chatas ha'of is malika rather than min zevach. However, it's coming along with an olas behema, and therefore it has greater status than the meiser behema does. And therefore your order will be chatas first, then ola, and then meiser. That's the order you'll end up with. Rashi walks you through it. On Ayla b'chashivas de olas behema, he says shabba ima, the olas behema comes with it. V'chashuv u'mimaiser, and that's more important than the maiser. She kodesh kadashim v'kalo, because the ola is going on the mizbeach entirely, and it's kodesh and it's kodesh kadashim. So that's gonna have special status. Okay, Mishnah. Dealing now with a few issues that we've left out of our hierarchies. First of all, the issues of Asham Mitzara. Kol HaChataos Shebetara Kodmos LaShamos. All Chataos precede Asham, we said in the Mishnah. Chutz Me Asham Mitzara. Mimneshu Ba'al Hechsher. Except for the Asham and Mitzara brings what, as part of his purification process. That's different because it comes to be Mitahir him, to make him Tahir, and therefore it's more important, and it'll come first. The Asham Mitzara precedes the Chatas. That's number one. Number two, once we're talking about Asham Mitzara being unique, Kol HaShamos Shebetara Boin B'nei Shtayim U'Boin B'Kesef Shkalim. Ordinarily, an Asham is a two-year-old animal in its second year, and it's supposed to be brought for a minimum of 2 shekel. Right? That's the Torah's statement. Chutz may Asham Nazir v'Asham Mitzara, except Asham Nazir, as well as Asham Mitzara, Ashein Boin B'nei Shnasa, and they are yearlings, Vein Boin B'Kesef Shkalim, and they do not have this minimum price. That's our first part of our Mishnah. Part A of our Mishnah is, how is Asham Mitzara and Asham Nazir going to be different? Second part of that Mishnah. Kishem shekodin b'akravasan, kodmin b'achilasan. Just like you precede one for the other in terms of the avoda, so too when it comes to eating them. Your order is the same. So eat the chatas before the asham before the toda before the shlamim, shlamim before the bechor. That's your order. Third part of our Mishnah. Shlamim shel emesh, ushlamim shel yom. What if you have a shlamim that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash yesterday? It wasn't brought as a karbon. It was just brought. It's been sitting there waiting. And you have a shlamim that was brought in today. Do I have a preference? He says, yes. Shel emesh kodmin shel yom. You want to take care of yesterday's before today's, because it's not nice to leave it sitting there. Shlamim shel emesh, chatas v'asham shel hayom. What if it's yesterday's shlamim, but today's chatas and asham, and the chatas and asham have greater status? They're mechaper. So now which one do I do first? Shlamim shel emesh kodmin dever Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, yesterday's shlamim is more important because it waited too long. It's not nice to have them wait that long. The Chacham say no, the Chatas has priority, it will come before the Shlamim. Theoretically, your Shlamim could be sitting there for days, waiting to be brought, while they cycle through the Karbanos Chatas that are there. No, because it wasn't shechted yet, that's what I'm saying. This is just sitting there waiting in line. Yeah. It's like going to like Service Ontario. It'll be there for a while. Okay. Last part of the Mishnah. V'chulan ha-kohanim rasharim l'shanos ba'achilasan la'ochlan sluyim shlukim u'muvushalin. All of these the Kohen can eat however he chooses. He can eat it broiled, roasted, he can eat it shlukin. Tosa says it's different from muvushal in that it's stewed longer. As opposed to bishul, where it's cooked in liquids also, but it's a shorter period of time. Latis asocha table chulin v'table truma, you can put in chulin spices, you can put in truma spices, whatever you like. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon's position. Rabbi Meir Omer Leitim Latocho Tavli Truma Shlo Yaviat Truma Lidei Psul. We saw this already. Don't put in truma spices, he protests, because you're going to cause them to become pasul. Two different possibilities. We saw this already earlier. Rashi says you cause them to become pasul because you move up the time by which it can be eaten. The Rambam in Shviyas says the problem is that you're making it more subject to disqualification because you can metame kachim in ways that you can't be metame truma. So therefore, it's more disqualifiable, if you will. More vulnerable to disqualification. Last note on this, we saw this back on Nunvav Amid Beis, but that's a while ago. The Taras HaKodesh commented there, quoting Tosis and Chulin Kufla Amid Beis Amid Beis, that it's true that we say, oh, you can eat it however you like, but the default is supposed to be tzaliyah. Just like for the Karban Pesach, you're supposed to roast it. All karbanos really are supposed to be roasted by default. It's only that if you have some other way that you like more, these karbanos may be eaten in other ways, as opposed to the Karban Pesach, which absolutely must be bitzliya. And we'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.